Welcome back to another edition of the MLB Whip Around. We are here with yet another episode, episode 16 of the 2019 year. I'm here with Doug Latuca. We are back and ready to rumble. So, welcome back. We are here with another great week of the MLB Whip Around. The baseball season is off to a great start. We have been having a great season so far. The show has been a real hit for us. We've loved doing it, and it's been a lot of fun. We've really enjoyed our time here. Ben, sadly unable to attend this week, so it's just me and Doug for the second straight week. It is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, good luck, Ben, on his psychology AP test, which is currently, I believe it starts in about a half hour. So, good luck to him.
Yes, so we have a lot of news to take care of. Obviously, since the beginning of the season, the amount of news and highlights kind of slows down a little bit. Opening week is very, very exciting. So you're not going to see that many things. We still have a lot of really we're going to try and cover all the important things that have happened. Doug, I'll let you kick off with the first one.
So the first bit of news we have to talk about is C.C. Sabathia reaching 3,000 strikeouts. C.C. Sabathia is a guy who was an ace with the Indians, came over to the Yankees, an ace with the Yanks, led him to a 2009 World Series championship. He's just a catalyst out there. He's someone that's going to fight hard for you, give it his all every time he steps out on the mound. And we'll go back to last year where the Yankees were battling the Rays, and in retaliation to a play where Austin Romine was thrown at near his head, C.C. Sabathia intentionally threw at Jesus Sucre, who was a catcher on the Rays last year, and he received a 5-game suspension for that. So sticking up for his teammate was huge there. And another interesting point that I want to make about that story is he was 6 outs away from achieving a $500,000 incentive bonus by reaching 155 innings. So to show that he got ejected, so he was unable to get to the six more outs, but to show that he was able to sacrifice that money to protect his teammate and to do everything he could for the team just shows what type of a guy he is. I'm just really happy for him, and the Yankees ended up giving him that bonus anyway. So class moves all around. Yankees organization and C.C. Sabathia, congratulations to him on 3,000. Really one of my favorite players in the game today.
Yeah, it was a really great moment. And no matter who you are, I mean, 3,000 strikeouts is really a lot. And, I mean, he's been one of those guys who, I mean, if you're not a Yankee fan, he hasn't been really seen as one of the best pitchers in the game. People like me and people that are in the MLB kind of say, well, C.C. Sabathia is kind of that guy who you see him going against you to pitch in a game, and you're like, well, I don't think he's really going to be that hard to hit against. But 3,000 strikeouts, that's nothing to sneeze at. That's really impressive and clearly something that's going to be that's going to stick in his name for a long time. Might even get him a ticket in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, 100%. We'll see where it goes in his future, where he's placed in history. So the next headline, Mike, take it over.
Yeah, this is Steven Strasburg being the fastest player to ever hit 1,500 strikeouts. He's not very young anymore. He's 31 years old, I do believe. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, 1,500 strikeouts isn't a lot. CeCe's pretty old. I don't know what he is. He's late 30s. And
I believe it's 38.
Yeah,
pretty old.
Strasburg's got quite a lot of years in his tenure still to be able to reach 3,000 strikeouts. And being the fastest player to ever hit 1,500 is really impressive. I mean, that's something that a lot of people are overlooking because, I mean, he could – I mean, being the fastest player, that means you have the opportunity to break all the records. So you never know. Strasburg's really not the dominant pitcher that he once was, which is why I don't think he'll reach those records. But he may end up getting to 3,000 strikeouts, which is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, Strasburg had a terrific start to his career. You know, he burst onto the scene. He was just electric. The velocity, the movement, the location of his pitches. He was just dominant on the mound. Obviously, injuries have sort of derailed his career. He's back on a track that you like to see from Strasburg, and I think he's got a lot more left in the tank. Him, Scherzer, and Corbin as the big three over in Washington, we'll see what they can do as the season progresses. And, you know, you only really need big three in the playoffs. You know, big three guys you could throw out there every day, and that's how you contend in a playoff situation. So for Strasburg,
well, sadly they're not. Well, not
it's very early, but you know what I mean. Yeah. If they make it there,
it's going to be impressive.
Exactly. So good for Strasburg, 1,500 strikeouts, fastest to ever get there. So very impressive feat for him. Next, next bit of news here on our headlines. Shohei Ohtani returns from Tommy John surgery. So Ohtani had Tommy John last season, hurt his elbow. As we know, this is the phenom from Japan, played his first year last year, won the Rookie of the Year in the AL over Andujar and Torres, which to some Yankee fans
and a lot of baseball fans
was a little bit of a surprise, exactly. But Ohtani won it, similar to what he does, most likely for what he does with the bat and on the mound. He's a multi-position player, both offensively and defensively. So he returns. He'll be a big part of that Angel lineup, which has really struggled. I mean, the Angels are towards the bottom of the league, even with Mike Trout leading the charge there. So he'll bring them a little bit of life. We'll see if he can recover. Tommy John's a tough surgery, so hopefully he gets back to his Rookie of the Year form.
Yeah, this is really a very interesting thing for me. Had Tommy John over the offseason, and he's already back. I mean, for me, this is ringing bells with
T.J.
Rivera.
He's back as a hitter, correct?
Yeah.
Not a pitcher.
But this returns memories of me of T.J. Rivera. He had Tommy John surgery in the summer of last year, beginning of the summer. He's still not even able to play yet. So very, very difficult for us as Mets fans. Actually, I think it's been the summer of 2017 that he's been out.
Correct.
He's been out for a while. So, I mean, Tommy, he's not even back yet, and that's got to make you wonder. I mean, I guess Shohei's going to be a really good guy if he gets hurt. He's not going to be hurt for a long time. So that's a really valuable aspect in a player.
Yeah, hopefully. And you have to be cautious with these Japanese players. They play, I'm going off of experience of Masahiro Tanaka coming over to the Yankees. He pitched a lot of innings. He was not that young when he came over. I believe he was like
26.
Yeah, 25 or 26 when he arrived, and he had already thrown what accumulates to a pitcher's whole career in the MLB. So you have to be cautious with these Japanese players. You don't know. There's different equipment, different ball sizes and weights. You don't really know. The science is there, but you got to be careful with these guys. And already, Tommy John surgery, his rookie year in Major League Baseball, they expect him to have a long career, and this is just not a great start. So you hope he could stay healthy, hope nothing happens to aggravate the injury, but hopefully he can get right back into form.
Yeah, most definitely. And then the final bit of MLB news from this week, something that I've been waiting for a few days, and I'm sure a lot of fans around baseball have. Robinson Cano finally hits his 2,500th hit in the major leagues. A very big milestone. I think he went 0-17 leading up to it after hitting 2,499. So very long-awaited hit for Cano. I thought it was a home run. I mean, he hit the ball in the nose. It hit off the top of the wall in right center field at Petco Park. So it was an inch away from being a home run for his 2,500th hit. That would have been very impressive. I wish he was home. I remember when Michael Young hit 2,500, a lot of people, they put down a banner in Arlington. So I wish he was able to be home, because I don't think nobody even clapped for him at Petco Park, which is kind of disappointing because that's a really huge milestone. But, I mean, for a Mets fan, you got to sit back, and, I mean, he got most of those hits with the Yankees, but it's still cool to be able to witness that.
Yeah, 100%. Very impressive for Robinson Cano. Started his career with the New York Yankees. Was one of the best players on that squad. Won the championship in 2009. Was one of our best players. Walked away for the money to go to Seattle. I wouldn't blame him. I mean, that was a lot of money that they gave him. Ended up trading that contract over to the New York Mets. That's where he gets his 2,500th hit. Very impressive. Happy to see him still doing well. You know, some guys who have a great start to their career, take the money, usually fall off sometimes. You know, you don't always have the best career after you make a huge splash in the beginning, take the money, and then you become somewhat of a disappointment. Robbie Cano, although he was suspended last year for PEDs, has kind of figured his life out, figured his MLB career. He's got it back on track, and 2,500 hits is great.
And you also have to keep in mind, he's still got 5 years left on that
totally.
Contract. Chance of him hitting 3,000, pretty low.
He's one of the best hitters that I've seen. Has the purest stance, the nicest swing.
Yeah.
You just love the way that he hits, and you feel like he could hit for another 10 years.
Yeah, if he starts, I mean, I see him right now. The guy's like, I don't know, 35, 34, maybe 36. But he hits really well. He puts bat on the ball. It goes a long way. I mean, yeah, he was in a big slump recently. He's still trying to figure himself out. But, I mean, he makes really solid contact. He's got a really great ability to put bat on ball. And if he goes on a few stretches over these next 5 years, he may be able to reach 3,000. I mean, people I know, I mean, I think they average about like 100 plus hits a season. And for a guy like him, that shouldn't be too difficult. So maybe over these 5 years, if he keeps it up, stays healthy enough, he can maybe reach that 3,000th hit.
Yeah, so a great milestone for pretty much the definition of a professional hitter in MLB. So let's move on to our hitter of the week. Garofa started off.
Yeah, I'm going to start it off with Alex Bregman, the third baseman phenom from the Houston Astros. He hasn't had the best start to his season, but lately he's been really picking it up. They really rely on him in that lineup to be a real big bat. Alex Bregman, he's batting .364, which is really impressive in this last seven-day stretch with five home runs and 11 RBIs. That's really good, and he's a guy who can hit really well in his career, a very impressive guy, and it's nice for the Astros to see him on track. They really rely on him.
Yeah, not great to see as a New York Yankee fan. Obviously, last year he was outstanding for the Astros in their World Series championship. I'm sorry.
2 years
ago. That is false. 2 years ago. Yeah. When they
beat... It seems so recent. It's really
I know. Sorry. I kind of erased the Boston Red Sox championship out of my head and just...
I think because it was so like set that everyone knew they were going to win that we don't really think about it as much as the Astros.
Yeah, the Astros was also big for me just because of the series that went on. We had the lead going into game six, lost those two games to the Astros, and then they went on to eventually win. Bregman was outstanding. That's when he got the call up there. So my hitter of the week is Max Muncy from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He plays first base, second base, third base, pretty much all over the infield. And recently, he's been on a tear. He's been hitting .450 is his average. He's got a .542 on base percentage, which is insane. He has a .900 slugging percentage. He's got six runs scored, three homers, and nine hits. So very impressive for him, a guy that not a lot of people who don't follow the MLB religiously know, but he can really hit.
Yeah.
A good player, does it well. And the four walks is also something you can look at. Just, you know when a player's hot when they're getting on base. You know, that's always big for hitters, if they're getting pitched around or if they just have a good eye. You know, when you see the ball, you know that you're doing well. You know, when you're having a tough time picking up the spin, picking up the laces, that's when you start to get into a funk. And for Max Muncy, when the walks are up, that's when you know he's going to do well, and it's really correlated nicely. He's got a .450 batting average right now in the last seven games.
Yeah, he's a guy who also doesn't really get strike out or walk much. He puts the bat on the ball a lot. He likes to put the ball in play. In the postseason, we saw a few times where he struck out on a lot of low pitches, so walking a little bit more, obviously a very influential thing on his hitting resume. But the next thing here, I'm going to try and kind of swivel in a few new things every week. Last week we talked about some of the stat leaders. This week we're going to have a new edition called the Player Spotlight, which is a player that you want to point out for either their excellence at one point this year or their potential for their future. And I'm going to start it off with from the San Diego Padres, their starting pitcher who faced the Mets, Chris Paddock. I mean, the kid pitched against the Mets. He pitched against the Mets in a game where DeGrom was pitching, and he outpitched Jacob DeGrom on a night where he looked outstanding. Chris Paddock, he's got electric stuff. He's got a two-seamer. Well, it's really a four-seamer that moves to beat the band. He really is he's an impressive pitcher who throws hard. He is able to slow down his fastball or speed it up. He ranges between 93 and 98 on that fastball. He's got a curveball that's in the works, and he's got a really nice Vulcan change that drops a lot. It's like a 12-6 curve with a lot of spin. You just throw it like a four-seamer, and it drops a ton. So he's a really mastery pitcher with three pitches that can be electric. He works. I mean, Mickey Callaway said after the game, he starts off the hitters in the bottom of the zone to get ahead, and then he finishes them off in the top with fastballs. He's an electric pitcher. He relies predominantly on his fastball. He's a guy to look out for a lot in the future.
Yeah, he looked impressive. I saw on your MLB story, he looked sharp and definitely a guy who could race to the top of the pitching stats for the rest of the year. You know, you spoke about that electric stuff. Electric stuff leads to electric stats. So we'll see how that works out for him. And not a lot of pitchers outpitch Jacob DeGrom.
Not at all.
So that's impressive there. So my player spotlight's going to go to Gio Urshela. Not a lot of people know him, even if you watch Major League Baseball on a regular basis. This is a guy who hit he hit 225 in his first season, 224 the next, and 233 in his third major league season. But in his fourth season, the Yankees took a chance on him. He is hitting .346 on the year. He has just been outstanding for the New York Yankees. Playing third base with Miguel Andujar out. Andujar's just returned. But the Yankees have stood with Urshela, as he will have a lot of the third base duties, as Andujar will most likely be the DH, as he's still dealing with that elbow issue. But Gio Urshela, obviously I told you the stats, not a great hitter, somehow figured it out with the New York Yankees, and this is a young guy, really probably a gold glove third baseman if it came down to it, has had a couple errors recently, but the plays that he makes on a nightly basis, I mean, he is up there as one of the top defensive third basemen in Major League Baseball at this point. And what he's doing, at one point he was batting fourth for the New York Yankees, and as we know, injuries have decimated the roster as of late, getting a couple guys back in Andujar. They're sort of...
Hicks is coming back.
Yeah, exactly. LeMahieu came back after a short stint on the IL. Clint Frazier returned two nights ago. So we're getting a little bit... the Yankees are getting a little bit back that they've been missing. So where does that leave Urshela? I'm hoping he stays over at third base for his defensive abilities. And once the full unit comes back for the Yanks, he'll probably get moved out. More of a...
Be a utility guy, yeah.
Exactly. More of a utility guy, a great fielder option, but he's really done his part and maybe earned himself a job somewhere else, you know, via trade or something along those lines. So great to see Urshela getting off to a brilliant start to this year. I'm just happy for him as a young guy figuring it out up at the plate.
I remember he was a big prospect for the Indians. He was coming up through the system, and the Indians were praising him. They were saying that this guy, he's going to be sitting alongside Lindor. He's going to be a great third baseman, and he really didn't do very well. He didn't really hit well, and, I mean, it's great to see him produce, and I think you have a good point there. If people come back and are healthy and are hitting, I don't think he's going to have a spot on the Yankees, but he's certainly making do here in his time, and, I mean, the Yankees continue to win somehow with this really depleted lineup. Really scary to make you think about that. I said it last week that they're playing well with really a B team, and that just makes you wonder what they're going to do with their A team.
Yeah, a lot of people sort of discredit guys early on in their career if they struggle, but you got to give these guys time to develop. 4 years is not that much time at the major league level. Sometimes you don't even get that much time. But
we're often overlooking that.
Exactly. His defense has kept him up in the major leagues. He was in the minor league system. Yankees gave him a call up, and I heard of him. I remember him from the Indians. Then I believe he went to Toronto last year.
I think so.
So he's been moved around, but he found a home with the New York Yankees, and we'll see where it goes from here. Andujar's really struggled as he's come off the IL, but obviously got to give him a little bit of time to adjust.
Yeah. So very impressive. Some guys there. We didn't have a pitcher of the week this week. I just kind of replaced the player spotlight for that spot, so we'll get back to the pitcher of the week next week. But we've got some highlights here. A few things happened this week. A lot of really impressive things have happened in this past week. We started off with Mike Fiers of the Oakland Athletics. He threw a no-hitter this week. I believe the first no-hitter of the year.
That sounds correct.
Yeah, it is. That's correct. It was the first no-hitter of the year. It was a really spectacular play, and I got to point out Ramon Laureano's play in that game. It was a really great one. He hit a ball to dead center. He was in the outfield, but someone hit a ball to dead center on the Reds, and he leapt over the wall, made a game-saving catch. It would have been the first hit, first run of the game, and Ramon Laureano doing it all again, preserved the no-hitter.
So my next highlight, guy we just spoke about, Gio Urshela, came up huge for the New York Yankees in the ninth inning with a two-run game-tying home run to send it to extra innings. Was one of the better highlights of the season for the Yanks thus far. Huge home run for a guy that we just spoke about as having a great season thus far. And I was sitting on the couch with my dad, and right before he hit it, he goes, two-run homer for Urshela right here. I said, Dad, I just need a base hit. He hit a ball to deep center field, got up and over the wall into Monument Park. Tie game. Yankees eventually went on to win due to a LeMahieu game-winning single into right. Cameron Maben slid in safe. And as I'm talking, you're probably like, who are these guys? I didn't know Cameron Maben was on the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu's there as well. Gio Urshela's there. Clint Frazier's playing well. So those are guys who are getting it done on a nightly basis for the New York Yankees. And huge game-tying two-run homer for Urshela in that one.
Yeah, then we go to the next thing for the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are now red hot yet again. Justin Turner hitting three home runs, the former Met, in a game that is the, I believe, the second three home run game of the year for the major leagues. Very, very impressive. And it will be, it's just a very impressive thing for him. Hyunjin Ryu in that game tossed a 93 pitch complete game four hit shutout. It was a very, very good thing for him, the Dodgers getting back on track. The next thing, Jackie Bradley Jr. making a big play the other day. You can handle that one. That was yesterday.
Yeah, Jackie Bradley Jr. with a home run saving catch in the bottom of the 11th to preserve it at a 1-1 game. Big for him there. As we know, he's an outstanding defensive player. He's really struggled, though, this year, both defensively and offensively. I've seen just play after play. He's just had a tough time out there in the triangle at Fenway.
Sounds like Ahmed Rosario. Guy's got like 11 errors in 2
really?
Weeks. Yeah, he's really awful. He's got, I think he has at least 6 errors in the last like 2 weeks.
Would you consider moving him over to second base then?
I would consider trading him or sending him down. Because
how's Jed Lowry been?
He's not back yet. He's coming back this week. He's probably coming back tomorrow, actually.
I heard that he was back. Know. Okay.
No, he's been hitting in AAA. He's batting like .083 in AAA, which is not great.
Well, you hate to see that.
Yeah.
Did have a great year last year, so you hope he gets back to form. Yeah. But since we're on the topic of the New York Mets, and I know that you're an emphatic fan, just outstanding.
Just what, a little bit
the outstanding
fan.
Videos that we get on a nightly basis on his MLB Snapchat story of the New York Mets and what's going on there. But give us a little bit more detail on that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were complaining when I put it on my main story there because they'd be like, "We don't care." And I'm like, "All right, fine. I'll just make one for people who care."
There you go.
But yeah, the Mets have been really having a lot of problems lately. Pete Alonso has been on and off. He's been in a slump, but he's hitting a lot better lately. He had another home run yesterday that was robbed by Manuel Margot in center field that made a great catch, saved the home run that would have given the Mets the lead. But the Mets right now 1 for their last 5, and they are now 4-10 in their last 14 games, which is disappointing. But they're only 3 games under .500, and they're coming home to play the Marlins. So you can easily see the Mets back at 19-19 at the end of the series, which would be really impressive. They're going to have DeGrom and Syndergaard on the hill in this series. So a lot to think about. Actually, are they? Yeah. DeGrom and Syndergaard are pitching in this series. So a lot to think about for the Mets. They have to really settle in and get themselves back on track. It's a very big turning point. But because the NL East has been so tight, you can't really say that they're out of it right now. I mean, the only two teams that I'd say are really out of it are the Marlins and the Nationals. Nationals are 7 games back. They don't look good. I mean, I said it before the season. The Nationals are never going to have a chance. Everyone's really overhyping them. They really look atrocious on the field. They are, like I said, they're nothing without Bryce Harper. It's going to be between the Mets, Braves, and Phillies. And I think it's an impressive race. The Phillies are taking the reins right now. I had the Phillies predicted to win the division earlier on. Actually, no, I think I had the Mets predicted to win and the Phillies going to the wild card.
Of course
game.
You did.
But either way, I in realisticness, I said from the beginning of the season the Phillies are the best team in the East and they're the team to beat. And they're proving that right now. They're very impressive.
Well, come on now. They're 21-15.
Yeah. But I mean in the NL East, that's pretty good. I mean, they're hitting
pretty
really
solid.
Well.
They're 7-3 in their last 10. But Bryce Harper was in a huge slump.
Broke out of it in slam style.
Yes, indeed. So that was big for him.
Yeah, but honestly, the Mets just they have to figure it out. They have to figure out a way to get back on track. The offense, which I've said all year, the offense was strong in every game. It was the pitching. Now the pitching's been spotless and the offense has been the problem. They've scored, I remember they said in their last like 12 games they scored like 26 runs, which is awful. That's a little over 2 runs a game. They were averaging 5.5 before that. So the one guy I've been saying it all year. The one guy who's been doing good, Jeff McNeil, won another game, 2-for-4 last night. He's second in the majors in batting average with .353, tied with Christian Yelich, just a little 40 points below Cody Bellinger. But Jeff McNeil is really the big bright spot in that lineup. He's proven himself. He deserves to play every day. But the Mets, it's just been a slippery slope. Hopefully they get it back on track.
Yeah, they definitely have a chance here. And if you look at the MLB as a whole, there hasn't been one team who has really leapt out to a huge lead. I mean, the Dodgers are at 25-14. That's 11 games over .500. That's the biggest margin of wins and losses in the MLB to this point. So from a Yankee standpoint, though, for the AL East, 21-15 with what I said, a very depleted roster, getting a lot of those guys back from the IL. Still have a large number of guys who are still sitting out with injuries, but slowly but surely getting these guys back in the lineup. Yanks, 6 games over .500 at this point. The Rays are 10 games over .500 with a .639 winning percentage. And that's something that a lot of people didn't see, but me and you knew that the Rays were a legitimate team from the beginning. Still very early, as I continue to say on every single MLB whip-around show. We're about 40 games into the season here of 162-game slate. So I would be cautious.
Yeah.
For a lot of the leaders of divisions to this point, let's get into the summer where it really starts counting. You start playing every day in the heat, and that's when you decide who's a legitimate contender and who's a pretender. But to this point, Tampa Bay Rays are legitimate, 10 games over. New York Yankees, 6 games over .21-15, looking decent, I'd say, finding ways to win. Aaron Boone deserves a little
bit
of credit.
Let's be real. I mean, they've got a really low ball team, and they're performing
really
well.
Correct. Aaron Boone deserves a little bit of credit. As I've said on the last show, still don't agree with a lot of the decisions he makes with the bullpen. But with that being said, he's gotten this team to win some big games. But a team that is coming up from the ground, the Boston Red Sox, now at .500. They were atrocious at the beginning of the season. They were 8 games under .500. If we're going off the 2-8, what did you say?
2-10.
I'm sorry.
I think I meant to say 2-8, but either way, they had two wins.
Something around there. They were really at the bottom of the league. They've built their way back up. They now are sitting at a .500 winning percentage. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. And if you're a team in the AL East, you better watch out, because we know that the Boston Red Sox have the skill to be good.
It's got to be scary.
And yeah, I mean, still, the bullpen, if I'm a fan of the Red Sox, their bullpen is just not good.
Yeah, it's the offense.
You look at that bullpen, and there's not one name that you even know or recognize. So the offense, as you said, will lead them. There were talks that maybe Mookie Betts or J.D. Martinez were on the trading block early on in the year. But somehow the magic has come back, returned from last year. Obviously, you have that hangover, the sports hangover after the World Series, the World Series win. So the Boston Red Sox are a team to be reckoned with right now. And if you look at the other two teams, the Blue Jays and the Orioles,
they're pretty much
out of it. So it's a three-team race here, and I wouldn't be surprised. And this is a really interesting thing for me to say this early on in the season. I wouldn't be surprised if all three of these teams were in some sort of a playoff situation, one of them winning the league and then the other two in the wild card position. Because if you look down the line here, I'd say
The second-place team in the AL Central is never going to get it. They're never going to be in the wild card. I mean, that's just a disgusting division. The team that wins that division is barely going to have a chance to win in the playoffs. And then you've got the AL West with the Astros. The only real threat there, I got to say, are the Athletics. The Mariners haven't been doing well anymore either. So I think you have a good point there. That would be a really I don't remember what I said in the beginning of the year at the predictions show, but I actually think I said that it was going to be a Red Sox-Twins wild card game. But with the Indians doing so poorly, you can't really say that they're going to have a chance to win the division. So I don't know.
Yeah, totally. So another great show for us here on the MLB Whip Around. Hope you guys enjoyed the content. We just want to thank a couple people, Mr. Rashooting, Mr. Doxy, the administration, Dr. Catapano, and the class of 2016 for the generous donations that they gave for our podcast setup. So I'm Doug Latuca with Mike Garafa. Hope, Ben, you're doing well on your psychology AP right now. But that will do it for another week on the MLB Whip Around.